Okay, here we go. Happy Easter for everyone that is here this morning. And I'd like to start with celebrate Easter by freeing your heart. So why do we come here every Sunday and talk about how Jesus died, was raised from the dead, and now we come here and say Happy Easter on this particular day and say, wow, we're so happy that it's Easter. The significance of Jesus raising from the dead was to offer forgiveness for you and I. But what that means is to be freed from sin, to be given the freedom to live a life that glorifies God. Amen? And the biggest part of that is forgiveness. That's the whole point of Jesus dying on the cross, is that you and I have forgiveness. So this morning, I'd like to talk about what forgiveness looks like individually for one another and for the whole church as a whole. Amen? I'll play a clip after this. As you watch this clip, think about forgiveness. Think about how that forgiveness, lack of forgiveness holds you back. Think about what Jesus did for you on the cross. And if you can relate with it, I hope we can take this journey together as we come to the understanding of Jesus dying on the cross for you and I. That is an analogous of how you can handle life if you don't accept forgiveness from Christ. That clip is an analogous of what we go through as a people when we are not accepting forgiveness from God and not giving it to other people. We get tied up. We hold back. We don't give our best. So when we celebrate Easter, we have to ask that question. Have we accepted forgiveness from Christ? If we have, do we understand how that impacts our relationships, impacts one another relationships, impacts who we are as a people? So my first point is it starts with yourself. And just a caveat, we might go a bit longer today because of time issues. It starts with yourself. You see, if you don't understand forgiveness, you can't give it. And if you can't receive it from Christ, you cannot give it. But the net impact of that lack of forgiveness is really crippling to an individual soul. It destroys you. It destroys your marriage. It destroys everything we love and hold dear. 1 John 1:7-9 NLT says, but if we are living in the light as God is the light, then we have fellowship with each other. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins. If we claim we have no sin, we are only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. I have a question for you today. How rich is your fellowship? The reason we fear so much relationships is because we've been hurt before. And so we hold back. We don't give of ourselves. Jesus didn't come to the cross to let you hold back. He came on the cross to free you from that pain, from that fear of connecting and fellowship. From that, we can be so guarded that we don't even want to have any deep conversation. We just want to say, hi, bye. And yet it says, if we fellowship and get in that fellowship like he has put himself out, then we're able to confess sins to one another and then get an opportunity for forgiveness to happen. In other words, if you are not communing with God, it's also hard to commune with people. And that shows clearly in our relationships. And sometimes we don't have relationships at all, even though we sit in such an auditorium with so many people. And we wonder why. Why celebrate Christ and feel so lonely? Understand why he rose again. He rose so that we can receive forgiveness and let go of the old and allow him to speak to us today. Amen? How vulnerable are you? How vulnerable are you? You know, the word vulnerable literally translated is open to attack. Can you imagine that? open to attack. Yeah, you can attack me. Now get this right. I'm not asking people to attack one another. That's not what I'm talking about. But vulnerable is can only happens when you understand that if Jesus could go to the cross for me like that, why would I hold back? If he could take that pain for me, why would I hold back? Now, there is work to be done to develop relationships. Don't get me wrong. You need to connect on that level. But you cannot connect if you're not having fellowship. And you cannot connect if you don't have a relationship with God. And you cannot connect if you don't understand what the resurrection means, the significance of it. We have to get that right. When we get that right, we begin to build relationships that are vulnerable. Before he went to the cross, we know that Christ prayed 3 times. And those 3 times, his friends went to sleep at 1 time, right? He told them, pray so that you don't get into temptation, so that you can overcome temptation. And they didn't pray as much. And when the temptation came, you know they ran away when the soldiers came, right? But he didn't change because he had prayed. But he was vulnerable. And he said, you know, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. This was the Lord speaking to his friends. How vulnerable are you? Too many people don't experience Christ because they hold back on grudges, hold back on hurt, hold back on stuff that has happened to them. So they never allow Jesus Christ's resurrection revive them, transform them, and make them different. And because of that, they come to church and lose out on the joy of being connected with God. And that can happen for years. But you will go through that for so long and get disillusioned. And walk around church and feel like it's not alive. Yet this morning we talk about Easter, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It must give us hope. It must give us a sense of God is real. And because of that, we can have real fellowship and be vulnerable. So I ask you again, how is your fellowship and how vulnerable are you? If you don't have any friends, I challenge you to build at least 3 friends. Jesus had them. 3 good friends that you can talk about things deeply and get help. Not hi-bye, how are you doing, I'm doing well. No, really, how are you doing? We can be so automated, fine, okay, great. Get in touch before you answer that question. Amen? Our second point. Freedom in forgiveness. Forgiveness is a difficult topic when it applies to me, when it applies to you, forgiving another person. It's very easy to talk about forgiveness when Christ is forgiving us. That's an easy part. It's in many ways inconsequential in the sense of it doesn't touch my heart. It's just God, forgive me. Accept me anyway. But I want to talk about how we forgive one another. Freedom and forgiveness. There's a lot of freedom when you forgive another person, another soul. Luke 6, 35 to 37, NLT version. Love your enemies. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. Love your enemies. That guy you don't like. That guy that annoys you. That guy that puts you down sometimes. Love your enemies. We'll figure out how that works in a moment. Do good to them. In other words, don't become a victim to these people and react. We react, we are angry with them, we become very bad, we judge to the extent we become like them. We hate everything that they're doing, but we become exactly what they're doing. Why? Because we have no light. We don't show them anything. Then it says, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Now, if you're the kind of guy that gets money don't pay back, be careful. There's a scripture that talks about that as well. Don't say, okay, I'm going to use that to get money, not pay back. Well, there's another scripture we could talk about another day, not today. Then your reward from heaven will be very great. That is the significance of understanding resurrection. It's about heaven. It's about God and not now and here. Then it says, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. Sorry. You must be compassionate just as your father is compassionate. There's a key word there. I mean, he says, you must be. There's a key word. He's not asking, he's telling. He's telling something that, hey, you need to be compassionate. Amen. To people that you don't like. Because it is easy to love people that you, it's easy to be compassionate with people you like. But the taste of your faith is not in easy stuff. It's in people that are not like Christ. And will you treat them like Christ would want you to treat them? Counter culture, counter instinct, counter everything. But God is calling you to be like Christ. It's stuff that you cannot do for yourself. It's stuff that requires transformation. It's stuff that you cannot do because you're human. It's stuff you can only do because God calls you to and you have a relationship that transforms you to do that. So he says, do not judge others. We judge so much. It's easy to judge. You know, when you get into life coaching, that kind of world, they, one of the things they look at is when you don't, if you judge a lot, is they look at why you judge. And it's always a transference of what you've not dealt with. Now, what you judge is a reflection of what is bothering you. There's something around there that you keep judging and you have not dealt with that, so you keep attacking it. But you're not attacking it in you, you're attacking it in other people. Remember, you cannot change them, you can only change you. Until you've gotten to a point where you see the wrong and love it and not judge, love it and help them to see Christ so that they can transform, you keep judging and you take away the power of helping the other person transform. Because when they feel judged, they don't feel loved, cared. And so why would they listen to you? Why would they listen to you? So don't condemn others or it will all come back against you. That's what it's talking about. Before the life coach people came, Christ had it done. It's written down there. Forgive others and you'll be forgiven. If you cannot forgive others, most likely you've lost the spirit of Easter, of understanding that he rose so that we can learn to forgive one another. Nobody's perfect. The reason you hold back so much is because you're looking for a perfect world. That's not the way to go. Forgive and come out. Let go of the stuff that has held you for so long. Let go so that you can connect with God. Let go so that you can start growing again and so that God's life can show in you and show in the world. And that is attractive. And that's why we celebrate Easter. Amen? Here's a quote. Forgiveness does not excuse their behavior. Forgiveness prevents their behavior from destroying your heart. This morning, many of us have destroyed hearts because we've not forgiven. When we talk about that story, whatever happened to you, we get a tight chest. When we talk about that, our voices go up. They're loud. It may have happened 10 years ago, but it's like it just happened today. When we talk about that story that holds you back from forgiveness, we feel like it's not right and we're not justified. It's not about justice. It's about mercy. It's not about right. It's about righteousness. It's not about getting back what you want. It's about allowing God to heal you and to deal with that situation. Don't become a victim of what happened to you. Amen. Don't become a statistic of what happened to you. And that can hold you back for so long. It may be 2016, but it happened to you in 2010. Or it happened to you 7 years ago. And it may be 2016, but in your life, you are in 2010. The only difference is the time moved, but in reality, you're still in 2010. Why are you losing out your life like that? Why would you let the devil to steal that from you when Christ died on the cross and raised again and showed you that I have overcome everything so that you may be new, so that you may forgive and allow others to forgive you and so that we may change and forgive yourself for holding back on it for too long? Because sometimes we even don't forgive ourselves. We have issues around that. So the idea of forgiveness is so that your heart is not destroyed. We are afraid to forgive because it might happen again. It will not happen again. If you don't forgive, your heart gets destroyed. It's a question of time. you stop being joyful. You're mistrusting. You're controlling. You put people down. You're quite guarded. You put up a front. A front, layers on layers. You can't just be. You're afraid to be. And yet Christ says, I've created you in an awesome way. You have to play a role. I got to be this. No. You can just be. Calm down. Calm down. Be yourself. Allow God to touch you where you are. You're wonderfully made. He has a plan for you. And it's not about how you look. It's about your heart. It's about how you must be transformed in that inside. That aspect is a journey you must begin today. I understand that some hats don't go away quickly. I understand that. But forgiveness can be done today. The sting may stay for a while. The sting of it. Even though you forgive, you may still have some sting. It'll be there for a while. But you must learn to work through forgiveness. The sting may not go. Don't confuse the sting with forgiveness. What is forgiveness? Canceling debt. That I owe you $1 million and you cancel it to me and said, buddy, I love you anyway. Come on in, let's have some tea, let's have some rice, we can have a good time. That's what forgiveness is. Now, there are other complicated issues. Let's go to that for a moment. But that is the whole idea of forgiveness. Does that make sense? Christ is the standard of forgiveness. What is forgiveness? How do we measure forgiveness? Christ is the standard. Okay. Matthew 18, 21 to 22. At that point, Peter got up. And this is the Message version, by the way. So it'll be slightly different, all right? At that point, Peter got up the nerve to ask, Master, how many times do I forgive a brother or sister who hurts me? Seven? Jesus replied, seven? Hardly. Try 70 times seven. All you mathematicians know what we're talking about. Try that in a day. Now, I don't know how long you have been with that guy or that person in the room. He's trying to get that right. This is the standard of forgiveness. A lot of people hold grudges on the basis that I could have forgiven the first time, the second time. What you don't understand is you imprison yourself when you don't forgive. Yes, you're the one that was abused. Yes, you're the one that was mistreated. Yes, you're the one that got beaten down. But if you hold on that grudge, you just nailed yourself. The standard is here. I've had some bad stuff happen to me. You've had bad stuff happen to you. And you say, how could they? Because they're human beings. How could they? Because they're wicked. How could they? Because they didn't have Christ. But they went to church. Well, even church does not make people perfect. Just because you got baptized when you're broke, you still come out broke. It doesn't take away that brokenness just because Jesus Christ now is the Lord of your life and everything has changed. There is work to be done. There is work to be done to obey God, not because we can own that salvation, but in response to the grace of God, there is gratitude that pours out and we must change and be transformed and allow God to work in our lives. Amen. That comes out not of any salvation, but out of we're turning ourselves in now that we've been saved by the grace of Christ, and now change must begin to take place. That change is continuous to the day you die. Amen. The idea that you can set things and just be set, never, it's a fallacy. It's an illusion. It's an illusion. It's not there. The illusion, you think that I want to get this and I'm set. You're not set. As you sit, I can tell you, as you sit here, you're multiplying new cells and other cells are dying. There's nothing set even in your sitting. Everything is changing as we speak. So understand. That's the standard. Here's another one. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And the soldiers gambled for his clothes by throwing a dice. These people put Jesus on the cross, and he says, "Forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing." Talk about the Lord understanding the connection between him and God, and that what happens around is not, he cannot control that, but he can control who he'll focus on. And he focused on Jesus. A lot of stuff can happen to you. Heavy stuff. Divorce, abuse, molestation, and all kind of things. But the reason that we look to Jesus is we can overcome anything. Because my Bible says nothing is impossible with God. And I know it's hard. I know that. But with God, it's possible. So I speak to you this morning with this in view. Forgiveness. Anyone can hold a grudge, but it takes a person with character. In this case, we're talking about the character of Christ. The one that shows up when Christ is embodied, when we embody character's way of living. Not just character by the world standards. All right? To forgive. When you forgive, you release yourself from a painful burden. If you're not letting go, the reason Christ came on the cross and was allowed himself to be crucified so that we can be lifted from legalism, lifted from judgment, lifted from all this resentment that we carry around, is to be released from yourself, from a painful burden. Forgiveness doesn't mean what happened was okay. That is the reason we are afraid to forgive. We think that if I forgive, that is to validate that what happened was okay. Oh no, it's not. You're only saying, I am going to go to Christ and I'm not going to allow these to hold me back. So the fact that you're afraid to forgive is you're actually trying to collect insurance on the wrong stuff. Don't collect insurance on the wrong stuff. The right insurance is go to Christ and forgive. Forgive doesn't mean that what happened was okay. No, it doesn't. It simply means that Christ is bigger than what happened. And that if I go to Christ, he will teach me on how. You may need to get counseling sometimes and get help, professional help. But nevertheless, forgive. It doesn't mean that what happened was okay. And it doesn't mean that person should still be welcome in your life. If that person was abusive, beating you up, doing stuff, it doesn't mean they're welcome in your life. But you forgive them anyway. You follow that? They're not welcome in your life. It just means you have made peace with pain and are ready to let go. So when Jesus went on the cross and his disciples of 3 years had run away from him and Peter stood on the side when they were questioning him and denied him 3 times and did not even associate with him and felt alone and no one was there and walked and was put on the cross for no good reason. That is betrayal. That is injustice. That's everything you can think of in terms of pain, emotional. What he did was he made peace with God, focused on God. And that pain stopped to take hold of him. And he was ready to go on the cross joyfully because it was now a time to overcome all our sins. I hope and pray that you can allow God to bring healing in your heart. God bless you.
Thank you, Steve, for an incredible lesson. It's just great to be reminded just that we've been freed from sin, that we've been forgiven, and that we need to carry the same message the others got. So if you're visiting, really appreciate you coming out and spending part of your Easter with us. We're going to be back here again next Sunday, same time, so please come out and join us again. Let's close out with a prayer. Dear Father God in heaven, thank you so much for all you do in our lives. Thank you that all grace and mercy is yours, God, that you are the Father of compassion and forgiveness. Thank you for sending your Son to forgive us, God, to give us an example to live by. Help us always to just think of those less fortunate than us. Help those that are hurting just in Brussels and other places, God, and help us to always remember that it's through love that we can heal, God, through your message, God. Help us to carry it to everyone in this earth, God, and help us just always to do your will. Thank you so much for this day. Please protect us in your Son's name.